Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Early on in writer-director Alice Wu's new film, The Half of It, the film's protagonist, high school senior Ellie Chu, informs us, quote, "In case you haven't guessed, this is not a love story, or not one where anyone gets what they want. It is the story of how true friendship can change how you view yourself, and how sometimes being honest with yourself can be really, really hard." In the film, Ellie Chu lives in a small Washington state town with her father, who can't find work in his field. He's got a PhD in engineering because he's not that fluent in English. Her whole family came to the States from China for a better life, but have been confronted with oh-so-casual racism and struggles financially. As part of her small side business to help pay the bills, Ellie writes other students' papers, and in one case, channels her inner Cyrano when she agrees to help her classmate Paul write love letters and texts to a girl they both have a crush on, named Aster. Here's a clip of Paul's first attempt to talk to Ellie, to ask Ellie for help, after he accidentally pushes her off her bike.
Whoa! What is wrong with you?
I'm sorry.
$10 for three pages, $20 for 3 to 10. Not in the over 10 page biz.
No, I'm not trying to cheat.
Nobody is. Which class is it for?
No, it's not.
What's this?
A letter.
Who writes letters these days?
I thought it seemed romantic.
Can't help you.
No, I just need a few words, good ones.
I'm not writing to Aster to some girl. It'd be wrong. A letter is personal. It's supposed to be authentic.
That'd be awesome.
No, I can't be you being authentic. Get a thesaurus. You spell check. Good luck, Romeo.
I can pay more for authentic.
The Half of It won the top award for Best U.S. Narrative Feature from the 2020 Tribeca Film Festival, and one reviewer had especially high praise for Alice Wu, saying, quote, "The industry is lucky to have her as a filmmaker who's willing to make bold choices with a familiar genre format to effectively reinforce that there's no one right way to love." The Half of It is available on Netflix, and we are so glad it has brought director and screenwriter Alice Wu to our show. Alice, welcome to All of It.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So right off the bat, we know this is not a classic love story. Ellie makes that very clear. Why did you want to have her establish that right up front?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, I sort of tease you in as if this is going to be a romantic comedy. But in many ways, it actually turns out not to be. Like midway through, I slightly subvert the genre. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that perhaps it's because as I've gotten older, being someone who's weaned on a lot of romantic movies growing up and really believing this idea that once you find your one sort of romantic partner, your life is complete. Once I got older, I sort of saw that even if that happens, it does seem like let's say you get married. It's not like after marriage, then your life just ends in a crescendo of wonderfulness. Like even if you did find the perfect person, right? So what happens then? And in that process, I started realizing that some of my bigger, more important relationships, and frankly, my biggest heartbreaks were not romantic. They were maybe over like the heartbreak you have between a parent and a child or between best friends. And that got me thinking a lot about like, I kind of want to write a story where you think the whole thing is who's going to get the girl. But it really turns out to be about the inadvertent relationships that happen sometimes between you and the person that you least expect and how you might end up changing each other's lives.
So some people have described this as a teenage spin on Cyrano de Bergerac. Why did you want to set it in a high school specifically?
No, it's such a great question, because if I'm totally honest with you, when I first started writing it, it was really sort of the germ of the idea came from. So I'm gay. I'm lesbian. And my best friend in grad school was a straight white guy who would not at all have been someone who I thought would be my best friend. But he was, and he really helped me come out to myself more than anyone. And I think thinking about the process of that friendship and how it can get a little tricky, especially then, because I'm 50 now. So when I came out, this was like early 90s, I think there wasn't a lot of context for why people, you know, how people thought about male-female relationships. Maybe they still don't, but especially then, the idea is, well, if you meet this person, you get along well, why wouldn't you be romantically together? And in the process of trying to, many years later, process that and write about a story, I thought that would be people in their 20s. And pretty quickly, I thought, oh, you know, this story is too unwieldy, or maybe I'm just too close to it. And at a certain point, I just threw up my hands and thought, you know what, I should just set this thing in high school. Because I think there's something about that time in high school and how formative it is for all of us, where every feeling you have is often the first time you've had that feeling. So you think it's the last time you're going to have that feeling. Like, you have a crush on this person. If you don't get this person, you are dying alone. You know, like, you, like, it's that the stakes are that high. And I think for a storyteller, high school is very fertile in that you can cover a lot of emotional territory very quickly and still have it feel authentic. And then the other thing I personally believe is that maybe most of us went to high school. And so I think most of us still carry that high schooler inside of us. Like, I think, honestly, my story could have been set in a nursing home. It could have been 80-year-olds. But if an 80-year-old tried to ask out another 80-year-old that they have a crush on, I bet you that 80-year-old feels like they're 15.
You know, it's so interesting you said that about the emotional accessibility, because I was just wrote my notes, my paper. This reminds me of YA novels and how people have come to really respect young adult novels because they're able to tap into something that's sort of emotionally pure in a way. And that's what high school is. You were saying that it's not, it's sort of unfettered. Like, there's nothing else going on except the way you were feeling about this person right at this moment. And it seems for Ellie that some of those feelings are really, really confusing. And that sort of rubs against how smart she is. What's going on inside of her?
You know, I love that you said that. It's funny. It's like one of those things that I often think about us as humans that, you know, if you really think about it, most of us are like far more intelligent and far more physically capable than like on any given day. We're not likely to max out. We're not even likely to use 10% of that, right? But for some weird reason, we're kind of terrible at relationships. And I apologize. I know there's like a small percentage of people out there who are amazing at relationships. I just don't know any of them. And I myself am certainly not one. And so I think we all bumble around, right? And so I'll watch like my incredibly smart friends just dissolve into, you know, like a pile of you know, I'm basically, and the truth is we're basically just sacks of chemicals trying to be people, right? And so when it comes to trying to relate to each other, it's always, I mean, it's painfully funny to me. I mean, and I think Ellie is basically that. Like, she's incredibly smart. She's very precocious. She basically, at the start of the movie, is constantly using things from the Western canon, like other people's words to describe love. She's writing other people's papers. But I hope this isn't a spoiler. But basically, I feel like the journey of her journey is at some point she has to figure out how to use her own words to describe love, however inelegant that is. And personally, I love that journey. I love watching like us as humans who, you know, I don't know why we're not more successful in relationships, but we aren't. I mean, at least in my perspective, we aren't. But that doesn't mean the relationships aren't wonderful. And even if they're flawed, they aren't so worth having.
My guest is Alice Wu. She is the director and the writer of the film, The Half of It. So the film is set in a small town, Squamish, in Washington State. Why there?
So I actually spent my 20s in Washington State. And so that's certainly one thing, is I know that area. But really, when I started writing the script, Trump had just been elected. And the actual storyline, it's a pretty commercial hook. It could really be set in like a big, you know, all white, huge high school in like suburban New Jersey or in like the Orange County and be like a bring it on kind of a thing. But I really wanted to, I think that's just not the way I am as a storyteller. And I think at that specific time, as I was thinking about this story, I was also consumed by the fact that our country felt like it was being like, you know, in a lot of ways, and it even feels more so today, like it was torn apart. Like everyone was kind of retreating to their different corners, pointing mm-hmm. fingers at each other. And I myself, you know, not like I didn't know, like obviously I knew racism and like xenophobia and homophobia and sexism, like that they're all still present. And honestly, even though I'm an old Asian dyke, I'm still sexist and racist and homophobic. Like I work on it, but every now and then, like, I don't think you can be American and born in this country and not, you know, be imbued with these attitudes. But I guess I just bought into the idea that we all thought they were wrong and we were all working on it. Right. And maybe it was because of, you know, the Obama years, but somehow I just thought that we were progressing. Like there was always work, but we as a country were growing. And I think once Trump got elected, I, as many people, were kind of startled to discover, oh, there are whole segments of American population who don't feel like that is a value to adhere to, that like they don't feel any need to work on that. And I think that really threw me, and the desire to then, I mean, I guess for me, I wanted to, because I didn't want to just decide, well, therefore these people are bad. Like, because there's a part of me that maybe I just want to believe this. I want to believe that most people are fundamentally good, that given the resources, we would do the decent thing. And that, you know, for most of us, if we have attitudes that maybe aren't that thoughtful, it's just lack of exposure, or, you know, and so given that, I thought like, huh, maybe I should set this in a small rural town that I don't say it's Trump country, because I don't want to date the film. But, you know, I wanted to find some way where it, in some ways, even though I didn't grow up in a small town in eastern Washington state, there's a lot about what's happening in that movie that actually reflects how I felt growing up in high school, and sort of recognizing that a lot of the people I came into contact with, including myself and my own parents, that we had certain attitudes, but I don't believe we were bad people. And I guess I wanted to reflect that in some quiet, sort of subtle way, that like, I don't actually think there are really all that many, or maybe any villains in my movies. They're just people who are trying to do their best. And, you know, sometimes we flip, sometimes we fail.
How would you describe Ellie's relationship with her dad?
It's so funny because, you know, a lot of, like, my films are always fictional from the standpoint that, like, none of these things technically happen to me, but emotionally they're very true. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be honest and say that emotionally, like, Ellie and her father's relationship, when I was writing it, like, I would actually start crying sometimes because I imagined my dad someday seeing this. Like, I was really writing those things for him. Because he was such a, like, he's a wonderful man. He cannot express himself verbally to save his life. Mm. And I don't, you know, as I get older, I'm very aware that you don't, there's not just one way to love. And I like to think that Ellie and her dad, there's this incredibly loving relationship there. And I think everyone feels it. And there's just this way that, like, this father clearly loves his daughter. He's grieving the loss of his wife. And all he wants is to not lose his daughter. So he's doing what he thinks is best for her. And his journey is realizing at some point that his own fears are actually blocking her from becoming who she could be. And I think for me, the most loving thing is that he transcends that, as terrified as he is, in order to let her, you know, let her sort of live her life. And I feel like my dad probably would really get that.
My guest is director Alice Wu. We're talking about her film, The Half of It. Excuse me. The Half of It. You know, it's funny. I was just wrote down, it's not a teen film. It's a film where teens are at the center of it quite a bit. And you, because you're upending this idea of a teen film, I think, quite a bit. And one of the ways you do that is there's, you know, very interesting production elements in the film. You have this series of beautiful animations in the film. That's how it begins. Tell me about that decision.
I really love that you said that, because I was always like, I'm not making a teen movie. I'm making a movie of teenagers in it. Teenagers are just people. They're just people who go to high school. Because I actually get that a lot. Like, wow, how did you write their dialogue so honestly and true? And I'm like, honestly, the teenagers I know also are just people. So it and I think for me, you know, I will be honest, because I left the industry 10 years ago to take care of my mom. At the point I was writing this script, I had not written in 7 years. I didn't even think the script would get made. So I was just writing for myself. And I just put in everything that I love. Like, I love The Remains of the Day, like all the movies that are referenced. Like, I love Wings of Desire. I think if I had been thinking I'm making a teen movie, I might not have put those things in, because the question then would become like, do teens know about that? But at the point I was going to get it made, I suddenly thought, oh, like, people responding so strongly to the script that I thought, like, well, A, teens are incredible at, like, in, like, the 10 seconds you've mentioned something, they've already read about it by looking it up. So I thought, like, the idea of deliciously introducing a new generation to things I think are deservedly classic. And that includes, by the way, Gordon Lightfoot and Chicago's If You Leave Me Now, which I feel like I love those songs. I feel like they stood the test of time. And it's something that my creative team would laugh if they're hearing this, because they got sick of me constantly saying that I have two touchstones. One is authenticity. Like, it's very important that people believe these kids exist. And the second is timelessness. And I think the way you do timelessness is you don't lean too hard into the trends of the moment. Like, if I put an Ariana Grande, in 5 years, everyone will be like, oh, that Ariana Grande song, right? Like, it'll date the film. But if I put in something that stood the test of time and then also put in some new things, like we had the Ruin Brothers write like new songs. We have four songs by them throughout. I feel like it will give the film a timeless quality where you could still watch it 10 years from now and feel like it's still relevant. So that's a lot of the choices. And the animation, I love our animator, Haley Morris. But yeah, that was a retelling of Plato's Symposium about this notion of everyone looking for their other half after being like torn asunder. And I think animation's a great way to do that, because I'm basically giving a nod to, here are the stories we grew up with. Here are the myths we grew up with that are like in our bones. And going from there to just the first shot of high school, I make it a little hyper real. Like, you just see a shot of high school where the actors are playing it up a little bit. And then the next shot is finally of our heroine. And that's when we go into reality. And I'm sort of viscerally trying to lead you to, here's the story, you know, here's the fairy tale. And here's what's really happening. And then from the here's what's really happening place is where I think like to think the film takes off.
Given you didn't even expect this to get made, just how are you feeling about the response, which has been overwhelmingly positive?
Honestly, I'm so glad. I mean, I'm terrified that we're in a pandemic. Everything is terrible about that. The one thing I am slightly glad about is that I am alone. Like no one can see me freaking out. Like, I think at one point it was like Tegan and Sarah wrote, like, we love this movie. And I was like, I have absolutely no chill right now. And this is very embarrassing. And it's like, thank God nobody can see. Honestly, I'm actually totally nervous about being on your show. I've watched you since you did the choose or lose vote on MTV.
Oh, right on. Oh, you
and
are
so
my people.
I was like, Alison Stewart. So, yes, I mean, it's a very good thing, really, that the public doesn't have to be exposed to me and that it can just they can just enjoy the film, or hopefully enjoy the film. But, I mean, I do miss, I greatly miss, like, my actors and I talk almost daily about the fact that we wish we could hug each other. I miss that, you know, and also Netflix soon was going to give us a theatrical release, and it would have been incredibly wonderful to have had my friends and family see it together in a theater. But
you know what? I think a lot of people are seeing it now who might not have gotten the chance to. Alice, you're a director. You'll preach this. I have to wrap.
Yes.
Alice, who is the director of The Half of It, you can check it out on Netflix. It is so nice to meet you. We'll meet one day in real life.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Allison.